The Alter Rebbe had explained in Kuntres Achron, the fourth essay, how the act of the mitzvah is greater than the love and fear of God that a neshama has. One of the explanations was that there are in the world two ways of bringing godliness and the world together. One is by elevating the world, and the other is by bringing godliness down. In bringing down godliness, we bring to the world a godliness that hadn't been there before, a higher level of light. Now, this is true of all the levels of creation, that in all the worlds there is an increase of light, which would mean that through the act of a mitzvah, a physical mitzvah, we actually increase the godliness of the higher worlds, of the spiritual worlds. So here the Alter Rebbe is going to ask how that is and explain how a physical act can add godliness to the spiritual worlds. We are on page 314 of Kuntres Achron. The number at the bottom of the page is 612. We're a little bit past the middle of the page at the period. The line begins, Ach Lahovin. Ach Lahovin Eicho Esrik Shehu Meresh Peches. To understand how the Esrik, which is part of the fallen sparks, the 288 fallen sparks, Shalei Nevaru Adayin, that have not yet been purified and elevated, Chein Klaf HaTfilin, and the same is true also of the leather of the Tfilin, it too is part of the fallen world of Tehu, that expresses itself in the 288 sparks that make up the physical world while it is still mundane and not been used for a mitzvah, so it hasn't been purified yet, and yet when the person puts on the tefillin, yamshich er bekelim dezun da'atzilus, by doing that he brings godliness, he brings light into the vessels of the seven attributes of atzilus, zah and malchus, shekvar nivreru, which are already purified, the nisaknu, and already corrected, are they shem ma, through the name ma. Because all of this is the world of tikkun, as we learned earlier, li yez bechinas elikus. So they are godliness, because they are already fixed and corrected and purified, and yet, through the act of a mitzvah, performed with an object that is not yet purified, you bring additional godliness to the holy world of Atzilus. So how can that be? Hine hamashul hazeh hu azriya v'hanetiya. So an analogy for this would be the planting of grass and trees. Shehagadin me'eret keyach hatzimeach sheba'oretz. What does the plant, the seed, do? The seed arouses the potential that is contained within the earth. Shehu dvar Hashem tachi ha'oretz eitz pri. When God said to the earth, let the earth give forth vegetation and produce trees, that word, that utterance, gives the earth the power to produce grasses and trees, plants and trees. What does the seed do? Obviously the tree is not growing from the seed. The grass is not growing from the seed, it's growing from the earth. It's the earth that produces it. So what is the role of the seed? So the seed arouses this ability, this potential in the earth. Even though the seed is infinitely lower and insignificant compared to the power that the earth has, it still, the seed has the power to arouse this ability, this potential in the earth. And that is al yedei ha'alas man l'sharshe, by elevating itself from below to its source, it stimulates the earth to give what it has. Now, whenever something is brought back to its source, we're basically talking about taking away, when you take away from any given thing, you take away all of its external attributes, all of its external characteristics, what is left is the influence of its source. Like a child, when all else fails, falls back on its parents, returns to its source. Which means that when all the attributes are removed, when all the externals are taken away, what remains is most similar, is closest to the original condition, to the source. Now the physical thing, the seed, also comes from the power of the earth to give forth vegetation. Only, being a seed, it has none of the characteristics of the plant that it is supposed to reproduce. So the seed of the apple is very far removed from an apple tree or from the apple itself. And yet, because it is so far removed, it has none of the external characteristics of the apple tree or of the apple. Therefore, it is closest. What is left to it is its source. And when that returns on its own initiative and yearns for its source, that stimulates the source to once again produce vegetation. The same is true also with the leather of the tefillin and the fruit, which is the esrig, since they are the final, lowest, most basic expression of the world of Tohu, from which they descend. Only they've lost all the attributes, all the characteristics of the attributes of Tohu. So they are now reduced down to their basic element, and that is their source in the world of Tohu. So when the tefillin or the esrig is used for a mitzvah, it is like reconnecting that which has lost all of its characteristics back to the source of those characteristics, back to the essence of it all, and that stimulates the essence and brings down a greater light. So I me'edirim haklav v'ha'esrig adrim ha'mayles shehu shem sag shelifnei ha'shvira. In this way, there is an arousal caused in the name Sag, which is in Tehu, but the way it is before, on the level prior to the Shvira. Shehu, that level before there was the breaking apart of Tehu, was the Muhus, the Atzmus Eri Sheba'ak. It was the essential lights of the level of Ak of Adam Kadmein, and not a mere ray of godliness as it is in the name Ma, that comes from the forehead, as we learned earlier. The same is true also with the study of the halachis, of the mitzvahs. You arouse the chabad, the chachma bin adas, of the 10 attributes of the Kalim, of the 7 later attributes, lower attributes. The Ad Reim HaMailis Gam Kein V'chinas Chabad Shebesag D'Pnim Yisak. Ultimately, we arouse also the higher levels. The Chabad itself, which is in the name Sag, which is the Pnim Yisak, as we mentioned before, Hayetze Derechoy Nayim, etc., that comes through the eyes, so to speak, not through the forehead, but through the eyes, which is more of the essence than the name of Ma. Chol hanal ho b'mitzvahs asei, and all of the above applies to positive mitzvahs. Avalei b'limud prati hil alochis isurei leisese l'chiyodo, but it would appear, it would seem, that it does not apply to the study of the details of the prohibitions, of the negative commandments. Ubefrat, bedelei shchichi klal, kamei prati halachis, pigul chahaygavn. Hilchas pigul chahaygavn. And particularly, we would think that it wouldn't apply to those commandments or those prohibitions that are not common, that don't happen very, not likely to happen at all. Like, for example, pigul and other such commandments. As, for example, the law of pigul, where the person thinks, intends during the offering of a sacrifice to eat the sacrifice after its allotted time. So an uncommon negative commandment, or all negative commandments in general, we would think would not have this positive effect of bringing down godliness, bringing a greater light of godliness into the worlds. So the Rebbe will go on in tomorrow's share to explain how that is. In the Hayyim Yom for the 9th of Kislev, the Rebbe writes that it is the birthday of the Mittel Rebbe, who was born in Tovkuf Lamed Dalad. It is also the Yartzeit of the Mittel Rebbe. He passed away on the same day, Tovkuf Pei Ches. And the Oihel, the Mittel Rebbe, is buried in Nezhin. On the 9th of Kislev, in the year Tovkuf Nun Dalad, the Alter Rebbe said a maimer. That maimer is part, the first part, of Pedek Nun Gimel of chapter 53 of Tanya, which speaks about the first Beis Hamikdash. The following day, Yud Kislev, he said another maimer, and that maimer basically is the conclusion of chapter 53 of Tanya. Because the maimorim, which were said beginning from Rosh Hashanah Tovkuf Nun until that day, Yud Kislev, Tovkuf Nun Dalet, which included some of the Likutei Eitzes of previous years, from those Maimonim, the 53 chapters of Tanya were made up.